All right. Hello and welcome to episode 312 of the Extra Features podcast. This will be a cozy, intimate conversation between Simon and myself as we discuss and spoil the heck out of movies.
Yeah, well, it's a little intimate, you know, because I don't mean to be rude. We've been busy. It's football season. It's my other job season. I'm just busy.
I get that.
And only me and you can really have a more flexibility schedule than some other people on the show. So they will be back. They just when they have time.
Yes.
So I do want to bring up something from the last episode we recorded, which should be out this week. So you guys will be hearing this later, but hopefully you've listened to it. It'll be our top 10 show is what I'm referring to. And that's available on YouTube as with this show and any other forthcoming shows will all be on YouTube. Someone's son got a little rambunctious, I would think, near the end of the show and used profanity against me. And I just want to know, what household was his child upraised that that would be allowed?
Well, I mean, he's an adult now. He's 18. He can make his own decisions with what words he likes to use. So, not until college. He was a very polite and refined young man, and now he's off in the big bad city and comes back with a foul mouth.
I mean, it must be that NYU university.
Yes, it must be.
Man, those New Yorkers. I know you're a Drew Jerseyan, so you're okay. And I'm a Canadian, so I'm polite to everybody. So
that is
all
fair.
In. This is for me, because when you maybe your dad will tell you, maybe somebody else will tell you, Marcel Lachelle still was not for me, and you were wrong. That's all I have to say on this. You can take your Marcel Lachelle movie and shove it.
Well, all okay. Right then.
That's all I'm going to say, being as polite as I can be a Canadian. I will bite my thumb at thee.
We've actually had some big movie news since the last
time. Oh, you had time to bring back the movie news section. I've been demanding.
Only because, you know, the Oscar nominations were announced last week. And,
I know, we have an Oscar show coming back up, and I have some other news for you to come up when you're done.
Okay, I was going to say we'll be going deep into it in our Oscar picks episode, but was there anything that jumped out and surprised you in the noms this year?
No, because we're kind of getting used to Oscar picks. The one thing was To Leslie, which I have not seen. I have not seen The Living as of this recording. I still have not seen The Whale.
Okay.
I have not seen Triangle of Sadness and All Quiet on the Western Front, I think are the five I have to watch.
Okay.
But by the time we record, I'll be done. I just want to state one more thing. To Leslie, it seems so much like Mystic River to me.
I don't think there's a murder in To Leslie. I still have to see that. But
just the acting style, Andrew Risebrough and Melissa Leo, I'm just kind of like, it looks like the same person, even though they're not. I know that.
Mm-hmm. I will say the one big thing that jumped out at me was the fact that RRR did not get a Best Picture nomination.
But it was not nominated for India's movie either.
No, because India did not submit it, so it was never going to be up for the Best Foreign Language Film.
Decision to Leave didn't come from Korea, which shocked me to no end.
That did shock me as well. And I will say, it's one of the movies we're getting into later, but I would have given RRR a Best Picture nom over Avatar.
Yeah? Like, hello? Absolutely. And I just want people to know that are maybe watching this for the first time. I usually do not remember at all what I put on a list. And Doug will fully back you up that he has the list, and I have no idea usually what's coming next, what we're doing in the future. He just knows I've watched it. That's all he knows, and I'm guaranteed
that is true.
Watched it. So that's about it. Do you want to get other movie news?
Yes.
I recently have done, it's now available on YouTube, a two-hour podcast on the Sonic Cinema. So when we discuss Blind Buys and a bunch of Oscar stuff and other things, so that's on YouTube, and you get to see my ugly mug and Brian Scuttle, and it's 2 hours of me and Scuttle.
Nice.
Oh, final thing before we move on. Have you ever heard of these things called Schoop waffles?
Yes. Yes, I have.
These things are amazing.
They're German.
Nope. See, they're not German. They're Dutch.
Okay. I was wrong then.
I found them at Costco. I'm addicted to these things.
When I first saw them, I thought they'd be crunchy, but they're actually kind of soft.
Yeah, you got to put it on hot over your tea, but I think my cups are too big, so they don't really sit well. And if I'm not careful, I drop them in a lot.
Well, alrighty then. Are you ready to dive into some movies? All right. I guess we'll kick things off with the biggest movie of the year of right now, anyway. It is Avatar: The Way of Water.
Oh, that was Megan.
Close, but Megan's just a billion and, I don't know, just a few billion behind Avatar. But directed
and
by...
And already double on VOD.
That's how I watched it.
Oh.
So Avatar, directed by James Cameron, starring Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver, Stephen Lang, Kate Winslet, and Cliff Curtis. If you want, I could start off on this. I will say this is the most expensive 3.5 to 4 star movie I have ever seen. I think the 1 star reviews are ridiculous, just as much as I think the 5 star reviews are ridiculous. It's a perfectly serviceable, enjoyable film while you're watching it, but at 3.5 hours, it's just way too long. I've heard people say, you know, only James Cameron can make a movie like this. It's so stunningly original and beautiful. To that, I kind of have to say, I don't think that's the case. I remember seeing test footage of the original Finding Nemo that they deemed unusable because the whales looked too realistic. I don't know. I just, this movie was fun. It had good points, but it also had stuff that I wouldn't even really consider nitpicks. I think you have Kate Winslet in the movie, who's one of the best actresses working today, and you give her nothing to do. Same thing with Zoe Saldana. Her character really had nothing new, nothing to contribute. Sam Worthington as the lead, he was kind of wooden, kind of droll. When you see Cliff Curtis in his role, which is a similar tribal leader to the Jake Sully character, Cliff Curtis carries that part. He manifests power and leadership. Sam Worthington just doesn't. The one thing that I was really surprised by that I liked a lot was Sigourney Weaver playing a 16-year-old character. I thought that was really good, and she was really good in that part. Aside from that, like I said, I think it's just a 3.5 to 4 star movie. Nothing groundbreaking for me.
Isn't Edie Falco in this too?
Oh yeah, that's right. She just disappears after the first 45 minutes or so.
You kind of meet Edie Falco. I'm like, oh, great, Edie Falco. Nope, disappears. Now, as I'm watching this film, I'm not into it. I tried hard to get into this. The thing for me, it carries this film, it is just beautiful to look at. I'm like, this, I can see why people go, I need to live here. I think they're crazy, but I get that part. I did have a problem with this cookie cutter villain. Not the guys hunting the whales. The guy at the end. The guy at the big... I go, this is just... I felt he was speaking like Destro from G.I. Joe. All I felt is, I am Go Joe Cobra! That's all I could think of my whole time watching this film going, this is just a bad episode of G.I. Joe. That we know what's going to happen. Like, the goons get in their little boat, and then G.I. Joe is going to control the whales and take them out. You know, because they have some thing. And I'm just like, this is some bad Cobra plot, is it? And that's really what I felt about the film. It was just a bad episode of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I mean, James Cameron does know how to stage an action scene. So the last battle, I thought, was very well staged, gorgeous to look at. But leading up to it, there just wasn't a lot to hold on to for me. I'm not as enamored with the Na'vi. Apparently, but still, it was gorgeous to look at, but a lot of it, it felt animated to me. It felt like an animated movie. And
I 100% agree with you. But it's the most beautiful animated film you've ever seen in your life.
I'll be honest. Okay, yeah. But I
tell me something that looks better, because I've never seen
it. Well, I was going to compare it to the original Avatar, and I do think this one looks better than the original, but I think the original was more groundbreaking in that it introduced all the techniques that James Cameron used for this film.
I 100% agree with everything you're saying. I apologize for eating. I'm just had a busy day. I'm going to try to get my post-workout complete snack in. And this is not the best post-workout snack. This is my treat before bed because I've eaten protein all day, so I have a little treat. Makes me happy. I agree with you. I really think Cameron needs a co-writer to come in and just flesh out things for him. You have enough time to flesh some of this out. Give me some depth to Zoe Saldana. What has she been doing other than having kids? Why is Kate Winslet showing up for three lines?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he seems more interested in world building than character building. But I remember back with his early films, they were all character driven. Sarah Connor is one of the greatest action heroes in recent memory because she was a very well-written character. Same with True Lies. I thought Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis in that were fantastic because they were well-written characters. Here, he's just more interested in Pandora and the mythology with that than he is with Jake Sully and I don't even remember what Zoe Saldana's character's name is.
I don't either. And the kids, I was kind of like, why did the guy save the kid that was left behind?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he save the Destro? I couldn't figure that out because I just call him Destro. I can't remember his name. I'm just like, so the setup number three, is that what the whole point is? This guy's coming back for three?
Yeah, I think that's because that's it has the, I guess, memories of his biological father. So he wanted to have some connection with, I forget the character's name, but Spider, that was the kid's name. I guess Spider just wanted to connect with his father somehow.
I just want more depth. I'm looking for something. Cause I can't even remember these people's names again. I leave the theater. I'm like, I can't remember anybody's name. I'm Spider. That's the only kid. And Destro. Can't remember his name.
Jake Sully.
Yes, Jake Sully. I remember, of course. But I'm just like, I don't get it. But this film is making $2 billion. So obviously we're wrong, Doug, that people are loving this crap.
Well, I think a lot of that has to be with James Cameron. He is a visual storyteller. And to get the most out of his visuals, you kind of have to see it on the big screen. You also have to see it in 3D, IMAX, and those are more expensive tickets. I don't think he's gaming the system doing it that way. People obviously really want to see this. I myself did not see it in 3D. I'm not a fan of 3D. I don't like wearing the big glasses over my already glasses. So I saw it in regular 2D, and it was fine. It was fun to watch, but kind of a forgettable story.
That's the problem with these. I find they're all forgettable stories. I can't remember what happened at the end of one other than Jake doesn't want to go back. And that's all I remember. That's why he's still here. And I'm kind of like, and we're doing another one of these? I didn't want this one. Yeah. I was kind of over it after the first one. I'm like, yeah, it looks nice. I'm moving on.
Well, I think we're meeting evil Na'vi next, the Ash Na'vi, the fire tribe.
Oh, maybe they're zombies. They eat each other.
I just want a big battle scene.
Yeah, he does do a good job of big battle scenes. I just want some depth to these characters so that I could at least go to somebody and go, hey, this one wasn't bad. You guys should watch this other than, yeah, it's okay.
I still recommend Terminator and Terminator 2 over anything else Cameron's done. Those are, I think, his masterpieces. But that's
now, I have a question. Since you're the king of the DVD buying, do you own a copy of Avatar?
Yes, I do.
That's all yes, I gotta say. Are you buying Avatar too?
Maybe not. I don't know. It depends on what extras are on the disc. If it's a bare bones disc, no.
So that will be a yes.
We'll see. We'll have to see how it comes out.
Fair enough. I just say, people, go see the film because it's just wonderful to look at. Don't remember any of it. Enjoy your 15 bags of popcorn it's going to take you to get through the movie. You have a coat, put some extra snacks in if you live in Canada, because, you know, snacks are expensive, especially for a 3-hour and a half movie. So pockets, smoke, bring Marcel the shell. He'll fit in there too. Maybe he'll like the movie.
All right, well, next, speaking of long movies.
Oh, by the way, you can buy a Marcel the Shell from A24.
Nice. I did not know that.
Just things you need to know, Owen. Because I want you to make sure you get all these little tidbits for you.
But like I was saying, we're going from one long movie to another long movie with Babylon, directed by Damien Chazelle, starring Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, and Diego Calva.
I'll start a little bit of this. Okay. I know we're going to have a lot to talk about. Does this film know what it wants to be? It starts off brilliantly. I really liked the first hour. I thought was a good film. The second hour, I'm like, I don't care. I thought it was like Boogie Nights all over again. I loved the first hour of Boogie Nights. I'm not comparing this to Boogie Nights and saying I love the first hour of Boogie Nights. Love the first hour of this film. Second hour, I'm like, oh, God. This is dumb. Long, tedious. I don't care. Third act, I'm like, I'm done. Pack this in. I'm really bored now. This whole weird Margot Robbie storyline that did not need to happen in any way. We could just axe that all out, and I think I would have been okay. But I did like the very end of the film when he comes back to visit. I thought that was kind of cute. Huh? I can understand people hating it. Now, I will accept you go, God, that's just too much. But I think Damien Chazelle has gotten to the point that, look, I can do whatever I want. I can make a 3-hour epic. Everybody's coming to see it. I'm like, nobody, we're not. We've had enough. Have you seen David O. Russell Amsterdam? This is what I'm comparing your film to. Something that should have been better than what I saw. And I want to go back. I'm still not done. I'm sorry. I know you're waiting. I thought Brad Pitt continues to show me why he's a phenomenal actor throughout this thing. Margot Robbie has always underimpresses me as an actress. Does not do anything for me. I've tried. Harley Quinn, I thought she was just okay. This, okay. I still think her best role is for Scorsese in Wolf of Wall Street. He seems to know how to get her to act.
Not so Itania?
Itania's solid. Okay, I'll give her Itania too. She's got one movie left, and if she can't do it in Barbie, we're parting the ways, is all I'm saying.
Okay. All right, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. This movie is way too long. I think it had so many mixed messages. I wasn't sure if Damien Chazelle was saying that Hollywood is a land of magic and dreams. Or is it a place of business where lives have no value whatsoever? I can't get over how many people die making movies in this film. There's the big battle scene in the beginning that they're filming where somebody gets speared. There's the cameraman who has a heat stroke and dies while filming the
I forgot. That is my favorite scene in the movie. It's the talkie scene. It's okay. My favorite scene in the whole movie is the hot box. The guy passes out for the hot box, given full credit.
But yeah, I this movie was way too long. I did not expect the Na'vi to show up in this movie, which they do at the end. You like that? I thought that was kind of ridiculous. I thought he just spent 3 hours telling us how horrible Hollywood is, that they'll do anything to just make a buck, but then he has the whole montage of look at how wonderful Hollywood's been the past 50 years. And
that hold on, just... I want to stop on that point. Mm-hmm. He is not saying that. The guy watching the film is thinking that.
Okay.
I disagree.
I see your point. I see your point.
I don't think Chazelle is – can I finish my point? Okay. I see you see it. Let me finish it, and then you can tell me if I'm right. Or wrong. Totally good. I think he's having a daydream throughout the film at the end. So he's watching, let's say, Singing in the Rain, and then he just sort of daydreams and then thinks about all this stuff, all the films he's seen over the years. So okay. I don't think it's Chazelle is giving this. I think that character is giving this to us. Now you go ahead.
I think it's Chazelle who's giving that to us because it shows scenes from stuff like Avatar, which had not come out by the time that character at the end sees that movie. That's still way in the future. I think it's Chazelle saying, look at how wonderful Hollywood is, even though it is this town that treats life as meaningless and Spider-Man can show you a guy eating a rat in a basement somewhere. I don't know. This is the one Chazelle movie that I actively dislike. And I even like First Man. I thought First Man was really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all of his movies except for this one. This one just rubbed me the wrong way.
Did you see his first film, Something and Something on a Park Bench?
No, I thought Whiplash was...
Nope, that's okay. Not. There's a film before Whiplash, and I have seen it. And I can't remember what it's called, but his first film I have seen. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's his daydream and Chazelle's daydream at the same time.
It obviously could be. Chazelle,
because, I mean, this character is going to the movies because he loves the movies. We get that impression. Especially when he tells his wife, I'll catch up with you later. I'm going to... just spend my time. And I get that. I could definitely see the wife going, yeah, you go. You used to live here. You used to work here. You go spend some time by yourself. And so, I mean, this is the time period. I mean, this wife may not have a job, which I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy owns a radio store, which he says. So he's still in touch with some sound and things, and he was around for that. So I think he's just, I honestly would say daydream. I really think all the levels are there for the daydream.
It's possible. I won't discount that for you. I don't think so myself.
Fair
like
enough.
I said, I think it's Chazelle, not whatever the character.
Well, when you buy this for $1.99, watch the commentary track. You can tell me who's right, okay?
Okay.
I think that's fair. Now, hold on. Why did you think of Margot Robbie? You're kind of not giving me anything here.
With Margot Robbie, I thought she was fine. She's not my favorite actress, but I don't think she's horrible. This was kind of Harley Quinn, but without the action scenes. That's the way it came off to me.
Well, I found out she can't do accents. She sounds exactly like Harley Quinn to me. And then she
well, her character's really... from Jersey.
Is it? Is her character really from Jersey? Because I only heard an Australian accent half the time.
Her character is from Jersey. I heard some Jersey in there. When she
you
wasn't.
Would know better than I would.
Fair.
I just wish, I mean, I felt bad for the Brad Pitt character because kind of when he's meeting the woman that writes the columnist,
mm-hmm.
You kind of knew
Jean Smart.
Jean Smart, yeah, I knew I can't remember her character name. But I did like the scene when he's talking to the guy, you need me for a picture. Is this a dog? Just tell me honestly. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. You know, and I kind of like that. Like I said, I just felt when she said, you know, we're all going to die and you're going to be forgotten. And I think that is very true about some of the silent film stars that didn't make it to talkies. That a lot of film buffs don't go to the silent film. I watch a lot of silent film because I think it's important to see how things were done back then more for me. Not so much the pictures, but there are some great silent films. Metropolis, to me, just blows me away. But that was one of the biggest budgets ever. So I think you do have to go. And Safety Last is just a phenomenal piece of comedy.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we do go back, but I think that's the problem, that she's really just telling people things we know. The people that are watching Babylon TV are movie buffs. People that have seen 8 million movies are going to see Babylon, because we've seen Whiplash, we've seen La La Land. And we're like, oh, Damien Chazelle, let's go see this. So I think he's really trying to cater to us constantly. Cater to, but I don't want you to cater to me. Show me something. Entertain me. You've missed the point of your movie.
So you don't find an elephant taking a massive dump on top of a guy at the beginning of the movie, do you find that entertaining?
No, but I did find the shooting of the silent films phenomenal.
Okay.
How they shot 15 silent films on one set.
Yes.
And Margot Robbie's bar scene was great. The big action scene. I just thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And how things were out of work. I thought Brad's character would not have taken such a header throughout the film. But I guess he needed an ending of some kind, which I don't think we need it. Because yeah. Margot Robbie's ending is just sort of, she died, move along. I'm like, what? Okay.
I kind of felt the character Sydney, the jazz trumpeter, I thought his story was interesting, but just kind of pushed to the side. He was kind of there, just it felt like to pad out the movie. And
Sydney was great. I thought the music was phenomenal in this. There's one thing we haven't discussed, the music.
That is the one thing I really enjoyed about this. I really liked the soundtrack. I thought the jazz music was phenomenal. But then again, Damien Chazelle is all about the music, and yeah, that's the one thing I think is unimpeachable about this movie is the music.
I wanted more Sydney playing 24/7. Anytime Sydney showed up, I knew I'd be happy.
Yeah, but again, he didn't really serve much of a point to the overall story.
Not at all. Nothing to do with the overall story, but I think it was into the music.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love the music of this film. I like a lot, a good 60% of this film I like.
Okay.
Hence I gave it a 6 out of 10, because 60%.
I'd give it a 3 out of 10, but that's just my opinion.
Wow. No, I definitely liked it more than you, but I did like the end that you hated, so.
Yes, that is fair. Now we come up to one of my son's favorite movies of last year.
Marcel the Shell?
No, it is up for animated feature film. It is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
Oh, wrong son.
Yes, directed by Joel Crawford, starring Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek, Harvey Guillen, Florence Pugh, Olivia Colman, Ray Winston, Samson Keo, and John Mulaney. I will be honest, I saw this movie on my son's birthday. It's what he really wanted to see. He loved it. It was his second time seeing it. For me, it was just okay. It wasn't really for me. I enjoyed the animation techniques. I liked the use of the mixed styles of animation. Some looked hand-drawn. Some was, computer generated. I thought the voice cast was all very good. Just to me, overall, it just kind of left me, yeah, it was good, but not fantastic. It's not one that I'm looking to rewatch.
We're going to war right now.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. When he goes to see the doctor, I think, and they discuss his 9 lives, mm-hmm. and shows all the stupid ways he died, I was dying. That was hysterical. And then he goes to visit the woman with all the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him starting to get into cat life, taking a dump in the kitty litter. I was dying. I would thought was this was the funniest thing I had seen. I was so into it. I would tell you, if you asked me the first 10 minutes, I would have went, yeah, it's terrible. But it grew on me like a gigantic fungus in a movie. It just kept growing. When Goldilocks and the Three Bears showed up, I was like, I'm in. I didn't think this movie could get better until we met Peter Pumpkin Eater. Is that it? Jack Plum?
Yeah, Little Jack Horner.
Little Jack Horner. Oh, my God. I was dying. I'm like, this is genius. And when he takes all his magical trinkets, Mm-hmm. And that's the little Jack Horner origin story was still my favorite.
See, I like the conscience bug. The bug who was his conscience who sounded like Jimmy Stewart.
It was great. Yeah, really? That's what you think I'm going to do? That's something else? I love when they get to, they finally get to the last, I guess, 45 minutes of the film and they are on their quest. Mm-hmm. And they get to the land of the book and you open it up and it shows you whatever you have to do. And the one cat opens it up. It's like, oh my God, the second cat opens it up. But the dog opens it up and everybody's happy. And it's just, I was going, this is genius. Crying. I will tell you, I literally broke up into tears numerous times. Right. But this is one of my favorite universes.
Okay.
I really, really like these films. They make me laugh all the time. Oh my God. When they go to war at the end of the film, I was thought, this is brilliant. And how the film ends up at the very end, when the dog gets his magical powers,
mm-hmm.
you win, Phil. Absolutely loved Puss in Boots. Didn't care about the voice acting of Selma Hayek and whatever. I don't care. I was just shocked how much fun I had during Puss in Boots.
Okay.
Absolutely entertained me to no end. I didn't give it a high score, but I loved it. I would recommend this film. I mean, it's Puss in Boots. What am I supposed to say? We've had a lot of these. But this is one of my favorite ones in the franchise. I think it finally got it. It did I love the animation, though. It's beautiful again.
Yeah, it was. That I agree on. I said, the mixed styles.
It looked
styles.
Like they were painting it. It looked like a painted animation, like Disney style, and then they'd mix in something else. I'm like, I give up. I don't know what they're doing, but I love it. So there's really not much to say about it. It's a pretty linear story. You follow it along. But it's got some solid jokes in it. I'm sorry. I could rewatch that scene again. When he takes a dump in the litter box, I'm in. That was the funniest thing, eating his food. I just thought it was great. I'm sorry. You know, your son can come on the show anytime. The other son, the Marcel, the sugar, gone.
All right.
Yeah. Absolutely love Puss in Boots. Dylan, good taste.
All right. And now it's time to move on to everybody's favorite doll, Megan, directed by Gerard Johnston, starring Allison Williams and Violet McCraw.
Was Violet McCraw the little kid or Megan?
That's a good question. I am not sure. Okay, if you want to give your opinion while I look this up.
Well, funny thing about Megan is I've seen it. My two daughters have seen it. Only my wife has not seen Megan, and none of us saw it together. So both my daughters went to see the theater to see Megan. So Megan's a big, pretty big movie for that generation. I was shocked that both my kids wanted to see Megan, which is fine. Go see it. I like parts of Megan. And the problem for me, Megan, was PG-13. I need more blood. It's just something I need in a horror movie. I need some throat slit. I need to see some bodies. I need to see some harpooning. I need to see, if we push a guy in front of a car, I want to see him go 40 feet and his head rolling and blood pouring. I just need that in my horror. I think this was decent horror for teens. I really think this is a good entry-level horror for somebody that doesn't really want to be scared. Do you know what I mean? It has an odd jump scare. Nothing that me and you have seen 100 films didn't see coming. But I think it's solid that way. I also have a few issues. Is Allison Williams the worst mom ever?
Well, she didn't necessarily want to be a mom. It was kind of forced upon her.
No, there were other options for the kid. They even told her that. She's like, no, I'll take her. So she comes to the home, doesn't give her any toys to play with. I'm shocked she even has clothes.
That's a good point.
You know, and I'm sitting there going, well, I understand you have a job. I understand you get paid a ton of money, obviously. But shouldn't you spend some time with your new daughter? You know, how much iPad time as much as you want? Because I got to get this project done, so I really don't care what you do all day. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay. So you gave her let's say $1 million prototype. I'm guessing $1 million to make Megan, $100,000.
Yeah, they said $100,000 is what they put into it, but that seems really cheap to me.
Right. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so Megan's allowed to go out wherever she wants, obviously. Nobody's taking photos of Megan. She sits on a table at a picnic. She goes everywhere you want. Like, isn't this the big toy for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you keep that under wraps? My other favorite one, this guy can steal files faster than anybody else I know. Oh, yes. I'm just putting my own file folder. I'm sitting there going, that's not how these things work. You know, there should be chips being built already. As soon as that guy found out about Megan and it was working, chips. And who doesn't put a failsafe in their doll? That was my biggest issue. Oh, I forgot to put the fail. I didn't get to put the fail. Hold on. You're going to give this daughter to your, this Megan doll to your daughter with no failsafe? Really? Are you looking to get sued? And later in life, I was just like, okay. I did have to watch some behind the scenes thing on Megan because I was a little confused on something.
Okay.
I thought the kid playing Megan's face was CGI. Nope, that's a mask.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which I didn't know. So I was watching something. You see her pull off. I'm like, what the hell, man? Give that person an Oscar. That's really good. Because I really thought that was CGI in some way. Nope. A complete mask. Okay. I was wondering how they did Megan. I'm like, and then I read more that, oh, it's another person. I'm like, okay, that makes sense on the dance moves. Because I said, that doesn't look CGI to me, the person. The mask might be, but no. So I think Megan's a good entry wrench or horror film. I don't think it's going to blow anybody away. I think everybody, like I said, is predictable. Everybody's very cookie cutter. And they just did this to set it up for the sequel, which we know is coming.
Yes, it's already been approved.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
It's greenlit, yes. I thought this movie, when it started off with the dead dog commercial, I thought, yes, this is exactly what I want. This is insane. But then it all just kind of goes downhill from there. It got kind of boring at times for me. I'll be perfectly honest. My wife had to point out to me that Megan wasn't killing the neighbor with just high pressure water. It was actually the chemicals that she had been spraying that was actually killing her. It wasn't just a power washer. And that's how much I was paying attention, I guess. The good news is for you, I have heard it was shot as an R-rated film, so there is potential for a R-rated Blu-ray to come out with extra gore. I know it was shot that way, but had to be edited down to PG-13. Other than that, I will be honest, it was fun for what it was, but it wasn't anything spectacular. I kind of wanted more from it than what I got. For PG-13, it was very tame. I think there was only like three or four people who died in the movie. And two of them were the boss and the boss's, sidekick who was the one stealing the information. I did enjoy her ripping the kid's ear off. I thought that was kind of fun to watch. But aside from that, it's kind of a tame horror film.
That's it? Just tame? Did you like it? You just thought it was boring?
Yeah, I will be honest. I was kind of bored by it towards the end.
But is it a good teen film, like I said? Is what I guess what I'm asking.
For a teen? Yeah, for teens.
15, 13, those are my daughter's ages, and they seem to like it, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, my Dylan, who loves horror movies, had no interest in this.
How old is he?
He's 15.
But has he seen Exorcist? See, my 15-year-old thought it was okay. My 13-year-old liked it a little bit better.
Dylan saw both It movies with me in the theater.
Oh, well, then there you go. I mean, that's a good film.
Yeah. He's a horror buff, so this one did not interest him.
That's fair, but like I said, this is horror light. I wouldn't exactly classify this as a horror film. But I think these are good films to get people into the audience. People like this. It did well on TikTok. Kids got into it. They went to see it. I mean, we can see what we want. Avatar's running the box office.
Yeah.
Megan ran the box office. They're not competing, making movies for us other than Marvel movies. And that's really about it. Everything else, they're just putting it out there with a dart and hoping we go see it. But there is a new David Fincher this movie, so here's my money. So I will be at the new David Fincher movie for sure. So moving along.
David Fincher is based on a comic book too, so there you go.
It is.
But actually, this movie should have been made specifically for me. Infinity Pool, directed by Brandon Cronenberg, starring Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth, and a bunch of other people who I don't really know.
I have no idea who they were. Didn't recognize anybody. I guess you want me to start this because you want to see how I feel about something. I really thought
I'm curious.
Was on two different levels of a film. One, there's a very metaphysical way of looking at this film, that everything you're looking at is a voyeuristic, especially in the sense that the rich just can do whatever they want. I really did feel that at one point. And then I thought on another level, it's a one-on-one film, that maybe it's talking about society and how we need to rise up against the rich so they can't do everything they want. So I really think there's two levels to look at this film. I think Skarsgård's trying to decide what he wants to do. Because the beginning of the film's kind of weird. It's kind of like on holidays with his girlfriend, I think. And he's kind of like, they seem nice, let's go do this. Then they just casually hit somebody. And then I'm like, then the next scene he's getting mutilated. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And this isn't just like a casual stabbing. This is a full-on decapitation. I'm like, and then it's a clone, and then they started, then they had the question I did. Is he the clone, or is he the real guy? And I'm like, I totally agree. I mean, how are you supposed to know? The movie doesn't tell you. So did they body switch me? I'm thinking at one point, so I just kind of let that go. And then he starts hanging out with Mia Goth, and they're getting along. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then they have another murder scene. I'm like, okay, this one is really creepy. That was a little more nuts. And I'm like, okay. And then Mia Goth turns on him because he wants to leave. I'm like, okay. I thought then that was just a weird scene. But I did like the scene with her on the car, making him walk and then shooting him. I thought it was pretty solid. Then he finally finds his passport somehow and then leaves. But then he comes back, I'm supposed to assume, at the end. He's just sitting in the airport. He doesn't leave. So I think he's going back. Now, my whole question is here. They kind of leave the book thing at the beginning, so they don't wrap that up. But I think he's going to write his second book, finally. I mean, how much money can he have from one book that nobody read is what I'm thinking. So I think things are turning. Or maybe he just gets a thrill out of this. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle whether I liked it or didn't like it. Because when they did the whole mass scene, I'm like, this is just getting weird. Beating up the guy to get the second kill. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from this film. Like, there's nobody I like in this film. I think they're all despicable.
Yeah,
and I mean, I really feel they need a comeuppance that I never thought happened.
Yeah, I will be honest. I agree with your first reading of the movie that the rich, if you're rich, you could get away with anything you want. And I think that's kind of what the movie was saying. I really don't see any other layers to it. I loved Brandon Cronenberg's previous movie, Possessor, starring recently Oscar-nominated Andrea Riseborough. That movie was amazing. I loved Possessor. This one I did not like. The rich can just get away with anything in this. The only person to really suffer consequences in this movie is Stellan Skarsgård. not Stel, I'm sorry, Alexander Skarsgård. And cause he's the one who didn't have any money. The only money he had came from his wife. And his wife, she got her money through her father who owns the publishing house. And none of, like you said, none of the characters are likable, which is fine. You can have movie where you don't like the characters, but at least make them charismatic. At least make them fun to watch. This didn't have that at all. It had weird Cronenberg-y stuff, with the cloning and the room with the cloning where you step into this weird jelly. But I don't know. I did not care for this film. I wanted to like it, but I just left feeling cold and uninterested. I felt like Stellan, Stellan Skarsgård, Alexander Skarsgård at the end, just sitting in the rain, feeling worthless. I cannot recommend this movie to anybody, even if they like David Cronenberg films or if they like Brendan Cronenberg's previous, Antiviral or Possessor. I just saw no redeeming qualities to this movie. Maybe that's what Cronenberg was going for here. Maybe he wanted to divide the audience. It seems like something a Cronenberg would want. But I just cannot recommend or like this movie, to be perfectly honest.
So I'm not wrong in my thinking here, because I gave it a 5, I'll be honest. And I had problems even writing about this film, because I'm still thinking about exactly what I watched.
Yeah, I want it to be deeper than it feels, but I don't think it is.
Okay, so I should just take it as Skarsgård is him the whole time, that his clone died every time, and don't read into it.
I don't think it matters, to be perfectly honest.
It doesn't. I agree with you on that.
Because the detective said, you know, the clone has all your memories up to the point you were cloned, so it thinks it's guilty of whatever crime you committed. So if it has all the memories up to that point, wouldn't it be you, actually? So
why keep doing this? They're not gaining anything. I understand that they're gaining money, gaining power. They're just being jackasses.
It's the thrill. It's the fact that they could go to this third world country and literally do whatever they want.
My argument is one day they're going to get shot or maimed or something by the people they're attacking.
Maybe, and that would have been glorious to see.
Yes.
But as it stands, that didn't happen. I guess Mia Goth's husband got shot in the leg.
That was it.
That one bodyguard. But yeah, that was it, and then he was fine for the rest of the movie.
But how did they keep getting caught? That's the one thing that was not explained to me. They just keep getting caught magically.
I think they were just drunk, and they didn't care if they got caught because they knew they had the money to get out of it.
Ridiculous. Just a weird concept, I guess. Okay. I don't know. I'm still undecided about Infinity Pool. I did watch it yesterday, and I can't make a decision.
I saw it, and I decided I did not like it.
And I'm fine with that.
Now we got The Pale Blue Eye, directed by Scott Cooper, starring Christian Bale, Harry Melling, Lucy Boynton, Toby Jones, and Gillian Anderson.
Talk about a movie I did not like.
Fair.
This was friggin' painful. I think I saw it was coming out on Netflix. I'm like, oh, I love Christian Bale. I think it's Scott Cooper as the director.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've not liked a Scott Cooper movie yet, and I'm sticking to it. I find his movies boring, long, and usually uninteresting. Exactly how I felt about this. Christian Bale, I mean, how can you – such a good actor does nothing. Just stands there and has long speeches and memories of things. I'm like, I don't care. I don't like these people. I don't like this town. This movie is way too friggin' long. The paint on my wall is drying faster than this movie is finishing. I'm interesting, and I can't even remember it. I watched it 2 weeks ago. I wish I could give you more. I honestly could not remember it because I think I blocked it. I was okay. So bored during this film. I'm like, I did like some of the cinematography. I'll give it that. I thought it was well shot. But there was nothing here of interest. When he goes to do the investigation, he gets sidetracked constantly. Having weird conversations with people, I'm like, why does this have to do with what I'm watching? And then it sort of gets wrapped up by the end. I'm like, this is dumb. And the weird, is it a sex dungeon or a sex cult or a black occult? I can't remember. It was the only interesting scene in the film.
I think it was just an occult thing, just trying to heal her daughter.
I don't know. I saw this 3 weeks ago. Like I said, I forgot most of it already. Maybe I should have read the wiki. I tried. I couldn't find anything in this. I gave it a 3 because I thought it was well shot. I thought the acting was fine. I'd like the scenes when Lucy Boynton, is she trying to kill herself? I think she tries to kill herself. That's the flashback scenes I liked.
No, I think that was Bell's daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not Lucy Boynton?
No, she was Toby Jones and Gillian Anderson's daughter. She's the one.
Oh, the one he's after.
Yeah, the one Edgar Allan Poe had the relationship with.
Yes, I like those scenes. I thought those scenes were well interesting. Again, this film is way too long. A bunch of crap happens. They walk a lot. I don't care. Again, filmmakers that need to get edited. This film needs a big edit. Babylon needs a big edit. Avatar could use an edit. Guys, if you're going to tell a 3-hour movie, it's got to be interesting. Has to be interesting.
Except to blow your mind, this was not a 3-hour movie. This was only 2 hours. It just felt like 3. No. It was like 2 hours and 2 minutes.
You're serious?
Yes.
I could have sworn this was 3 hours.
No.
It must have taken me 2 days to watch it.
No, it was only a 2-hour film.
It should have been an hour. Tell me what you think.
I think I liked it a little better than you. I thought everything was all good across the board. I thought Henry Melling actually looked a lot like young Edgar Allan Poe, so that was really good. I thought it played fair with the final twist. If you pay attention, it does play fair. It doesn't twist anything around. So that final twist that you get at the end doesn't really come out of nowhere. And I will be honest, my favorite part was towards the end when they're breaking the case and they're in the barn and there's fire everywhere. A piece of a beam falls down and cracks a person in the head. And my entire family, we just started laughing at that because it was just so ridiculous to have that bit of extreme violence out of nowhere. This is not a perfect movie. It's not great. But if you like slow, pretty mysteries, there's worse ways to spend 2 hours than this film.
You think there's a better way to spend 2 hours? I agree with that.
I said there's worse ways you could spend 2 hours than watching this.
No, I don't think there's many. I don't understand why you like this, guys. Fine.
I didn't say it was perfect. I just said it wasn't the worst thing we've seen this week.
Yeah, it is.
Really? I would.
I'm looking at the list of what we've seen, and this would be the worst movie I graded all week.
Really?
Yeah.
I would absolutely put this above Babylon and Infinity Pool, in my opinion.
I like parts of Infinity Pool. I passed Infinity Pool. I gave it a 5.
Okay.
Because I just – I can't decide what I think of it. I'm kind of still right in the middle of Infinity Pool. This movie just bored me. Infinity Pool I did not find boring, except for maybe just before he tries to escape and he has that weird dream sequence. It's kind of weird. It's why somebody like Infinity Pool.
That's the one thing I liked. I liked the dream sequence when you see the kid who stabbed him walking towards the bed and that deranged look on his face. That's the one thing I liked.
Okay, well, there you go.
Infinity Pool.
So, no, this is my worst reviewed film is Pale Blue Eyes. 100%. I couldn't take it. I was so bored.
That is fair. But now I'm curious how you felt about Sick, directed by John Himes, starring Gideon Adlon, Bethlehem Million, and Dylan Sprayberry.
I felt the same way. I liked it a little bit better than Pale Blue Eyes, but I gave it the same score.
Oh, really?
Okay. This film suffers from COVID. Like, there's nobody in this cast. It's so dumb. This movie is just dumb. I didn't hate it because I love Scream, and he's really just taking the highlights of Scream and making it COVID-based related. I'm kind of like, really? And you kind of know what's going on after a while. As soon as they explained to me there were two killers, I'm like, oh, this is Scream, is it? It's Scream 2 all over again. And I'm like, Kevin, this is light for you. Come on, buddy. When they go, you infected all these people. I'm like, oh, God, really? We're going there? Like, I don't need to relive COVID. I lived it. When I'm long dead, let them read about it in the history books. I'm fine, like the Spanish flu. I don't need a movie about COVID. I didn't find a lot of interest in Sick. I don't think it was a terrible film. I just think it was boring at times. It just seemed to do nothing. It was predictable. I mean, when they show the moose head up above, you knew the guy was getting impaled by that. Mm-hmm. When the woman went through the window, I'm like, she's coming back. I put this in the same category as Megan. It's for people getting into horror that don't want a big scare, that just want to be, ooh, that's kind of grisly. A little more violent than Megan, I'll give it that, but still not very good. It's just very light. Again, I just think this got dumped on Peacock because it had nowhere else to go.
See, I kind of enjoyed this movie. My biggest fear was that it was going to be a film that just mocked people for wearing a mask out in public and stuff. But it really wasn't that at all. And I liked the two leads. I liked Gideon Adlon and Bethlehem Million. I thought they were charismatic enough for me to watch the movie that had them as the leads, as opposed to Infinity Pool, where I didn't think anybody was really worth watching. No matter how hot Alexander Skarsgård is, I just didn't like his character at all in that movie. This I enjoyed. I thought it was fun. I liked that the two main college-aged characters, they didn't give a shit about COVID. They didn't care about the repercussions of their actions and stuff. But sometimes those repercussions do come back, this time in the form of knife-wielding psycho killers. I had fun with it. I don't think it was trying to say anything real deep and meaningful. Just had a lot of fun watching people get stabbed and killed. Could have used a few more kills for my taste in slasher films, but I had a good time with it. For a movie that was on Peacock, I enjoyed it.
But the problem was, you could tell this was filmed during COVID. Like, I really felt this was shot during COVID. Maybe I'm wrong, but it definitely felt like there was nobody on this set. Literally, it's just four people. Like, I'm sure it could use a few more kills, but it could also use a little bit more storyline would have been nice. And then something you can pretty much figure out pretty easily. Once you started getting about halfway, you should have known what was going on.
Well, yeah, they did. My wish for more kills stems from the line about, oh, don't worry about the other people. We took care of them.
Yes, yes. I heard you're like,
I would have liked to have seen more of those kills to get it to be a little more visceral for my.
You gotta love when the woman explains to them what's going on, right? Laird, mm-hmm. Your son wasn't wearing a mask either, and your son was there. So how is he doing what he was supposed to be doing during COVID?
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, I understand the killer's motivation. I mean, if their son just died, I get that. I get them going off the deep end for that. I don't agree with the killing, but I understand it. And it certainly makes for an interesting motive for a horror film.
Yeah, I agree, but I just felt there should have been more.
And I loved when the wife is yelling at the husband, your mask! And he's like, oh yeah, right. And what's the mask back? I had fun with this movie. I could see why you didn't like it, but I had fun.
I just thought it was too light for me. I need more kills. I like Megan better. Okay.
Fair.
Megan was a little more solid.
Well, now for our final film, starring, I know, one of your favorite actresses ever, Emily the Criminal, directed by John Patton Ford and starring Aubrey Plaza and Theo Rossi.
Oh, my God. Are you trying to give me more hate mail?
I guess so. Do you want me to start? So then I'll
give you a runway. Oh, no. Go ahead. You can start. But I got so much hate mail for hating Beth Sauer because I complained about somebody not doing a lot.
Okay.
And I'm talking ripped. And I'm like, did you guys watch the movie? And they kept saying, stop picking on her. I'm like, I don't think I said anything rude.
Well, I will say I actually really liked Aubrey Plaza in this movie. The way I describe it, it's the first time I've seen her play an adult character. I know she's played adults in other things, but they always felt like they had some kind of arrested development and they act like teenagers. This is the first time she felt like a fully functional adult character. I thought this movie, while not as dark as like a Safdie brother film, it does not go to the places Good Time or Uncut Gems goes. It did have some dark things to it. I really like the decision that Aubrey Plaza's character Emily makes at the end. I won't spoil or try not to spoil anything, but the decision she makes in the car at the end and then where she ends up, and her choice of profession at the end, I guess I should say. I really like this. I thought the scene where she steals the car and then the chase scene afterwards, I thought that was very well done. I was really impressed by Aubrey Plaza. I liked her in comedic roles. Parks and Rec, I thought, is a great show. This showed me that she could actually carry a film, by herself, that she could be a lead. I think her company actually produced this film. I think if this is the way she wants to go with her career, I think that's a good choice. I think she could be a really solid, dramatic actress if that's how she wants to go.
I 100% agree with you. My problem with this, I don't like slow-moving films, and I found this film moved a little too slowly. Was it excellent times? Absolutely it was. I like the beginning when she meets Gina Gershon and just gives Gina Gershon crap, saying, look, I need money. I don't have time for this crap. You know, and Gina Gershon, like, I think this film is well built. I think it has motivations. I think it's well shot. It just wasn't for me. Does that make sense? I want to give this film full credit. People that like this film, I get why you like this film. And people that know me know why I don't like this film. I don't like slow-moving films. I don't like really badly shot action scenes, which happened a lot in this film, twice, really bad. I just thought it was interesting how they do the counterfeiting, how they sell things. I mean, and I thought Audrey Plaza was excellent. It just, again, it wasn't for me. It was too slow for me. Maybe I should revisit it at some point, and I think my plan would change. maybe know how the film ends when she's doing the work now and selling the stuff to explain it. I think I knew what was going to happen a lot of the time before it happened, so there were no surprises for me.
Okay.
And I think maybe that was my issue. I mean, I do watch a lot of film, but I don't think this breaks new ground in any way. But I get why people like it, and I'm not bashing them. I totally will accept you loving this film. If it was on your top 10 list of last year, I totally would have accepted that too. Mm-hmm. I get where she's going. I like this world. I know there'll never be a sequel to this, but I think I needed to know more. I don't know why. How do they get the cards? How do they get this? You know, there's so many questions I have, but I think that's just the way my brain personally works more than the movie works. Do you know what I mean? The movie is giving the viewers everything they need to know about this world. Mm-hmm. But the way my brain works, I want a bit more on certain things. Maybe that's just the way I do interviews. So that was just me. I didn't like this film at all, but I get why people love it. That's the only way I can explain it. I did like the shooting style. I thought Aubrey Plaza was fine. Theo Rossi just bored the crap out of me as usual. I just think he's useless as an actor.
Yeah, was he in Sons of Anarchy?
He was in Sons of Anarchy. He bored the crap out of me.
That's a show I've never seen that show, so this is really the first thing I've ever seen him in. And he was okay, but this was really Aubrey Plaza's film. She was the marquee name here.
Yeah, I agree. So when I tell you to go see him in The Criminal, I say, yeah, I watch it. I'm just saying it wasn't for me. That's what I'm going to say on that one.
And I say, if you like Emily the Criminal, give Good Times a shot.
Oh, I like that, Good Times much more. I enjoyed Good Times.
Well, that's also way darker. That is a way darker film.
But we know how much I like darkness.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Pattinson does some things in that movie that I don't see Emily doing in this film.
Okay. Before you go, Doug, did you buy anything?
No, actually. Perfect. Oh, wait, actually, I have one thing.
Get up,
I do. Strange Brew on Blu-ray.
Oh, that's a great Canadian film.
I haven't seen it in, 25 years. So I wanted to revisit it.
I picked it up for a dollar a few years ago and watched it and gave it to a 15-year-old. He asked me, could he have it? Because I was talking to him about it. And I gave it to him. He goes, it was the funniest thing he's ever seen, he said. So nice. I have seen Strange Brew. He loved it. I loved it the second time I saw it. I didn't see it. Actually, you know what? I'd never seen it. It was my first time watching before I watched it. I'd never seen Strange Brew. I've seen scenes. I've seen parts of the film. I don't think I ever saw the whole thing in once. But I did watch it. And when they pour the dog a beer, I'm still that's my favorite scene. Yeah, there's a Strange Brew is a genius. So we're running out of time. So, Doug, if they make it.
You and I will watch it.